Thank you, dear family, for your patience and prayers. The delay is we've been moving into our tiny house and we're pretty well organized and settled now. And that's why you haven't heard from me much. But we're back on track and it's a beautiful spring day here in the mountains of New Mexico. I had begun a message a few days ago, but discerned it wasn't to go up yet. When that happens, I'm extra careful to make sure it is the Lord. So I have delayed until now to share a message with you. I told the Lord, I want to feed the flock. Please do not allow my flesh to get involved. Based on the message I was not supposed to publish yet, he said, without enough prayer, rancor comes more easily. With rancor comes judgment. With judgment comes deception. How's that for a start? It is true, Lord, it is true. Please forgive me. I know I was lacking in prayer, and you allowed me to have a false start, a wrong attitude when I did that message. But do you still want me to record it? He replied, I do, with a very few small modifications. Please do it in the right spirit, not judging, but in sincere charity. It will help others to also maintain the right attitude. I forgive you, Claire. I forgive you, sweet spouse. You understood me well when you were thinking that since you have kept me waiting, now I have kept you waiting. And you did even better when you recognized my mercy, because without it, you would be waiting millenniums to be with me again in this way. But because you brought up my mercy and cling to that, how can I resist you? Yet you will find the sweetest moments very often are the most prompt moments when you respond to my invitation immediately, without delay. I do long to be with you, and I want you to long to be with me. You see, delaying me is presumption. And I'm forced to correct you, beloved, when you presume. There are few things I delight in more than a highly responsive soul. Yes, it reveals the depth of your longing and love for me. And conversely, putting me off can reveal the first stages of lukewarmness. But here we are. The trees are budding, the sun is shining, and I am with my beloved. I have heard your prayers to be changed for the better, to grow in humility, self-sacrifice, and faithfulness to me and to your rule of life. And when he said that, he was referring to the Franciscan vows of poverty, chastity for our state in life, and obedience. He continued, I know you long for the freedom of holy poverty, and I will help you inasmuch as you are willing. But my beloved, do not make this your all-in-all goal. Evangelical poverty is only there to protect you from avarice and acquisition, from greed and preoccupation with the world. It frees your heart and mind to pursue the higher things. Those things of the world are only useful inasmuch as you use them to serve me. But to have all kinds of things is a trap that so many prosperity Christians have fallen into. It is a way to dull the sense of emptiness that is lacking in their relationship with me. With these things, boats, cars, houses, come the labors of upkeep and protection from thieves. When they break down, the joy of using them becomes the burden of fixing them. St. Francis would have had all these things and more, but he fell in love with me, and nothing of this world mattered any longer to him. He found the pearl of great price and gave everything to acquire it. Claire, it is not given to everyone to forsake all the comforts of the world. I did not give these comforts as a stumbling block, but as tools and helps in living the life that is pleasing to me. But as it happens most of the time with my gifts, the giver is forgotten for the fleeting pleasures of the gift. It is true, I am not an easy catch for sincere Christians. I long to go deeper and deeper with my people. I long to have heaven dwell in their hearts, but I cannot bring heaven to them if they are filled with the cares of this world. This is the true reason Francis embraced evangelical poverty. You remember the sweetness you felt in Analomic in Pennsylvania, deep in the forest, when you first forsook the world. How poor you were. How ecstatic were your encounters with me. Jesus, I want to go back to that place in my life. My beloved, you cannot replicate the past. So many things were different then. You had just stripped down to the barest of necessities. Your marriage was failing. You had just found the power in receiving me in communion. You had just found the joy of establishing a relationship with the souls that surround you in the great cloud. You cannot expect to return to that place, but you can expect to go on with me to new and wonderful things. Lord, am I feeling this way because of compromise on my part? No, it is about the seasons of your life and what I require and what is necessary at each stage. Whether you are willing to admit it or not, you were 30 years younger, and age does have a bearing on your state in life. I know that you see yourself as young, but your body doesn't always agree. Nonetheless, you are agelessly beautiful in my eyes because of your great devotion to me. Claire, stop putting yourself down. Look at life squarely in the face and see things for what they are. There are many things weighing you down, not the least of which are your sworn enemies, dedicated to putting an end to you. Yet we are nearing the end of your journey, and I want you to go out in great joy and triumph. Because for all your failures, the ones you see and acknowledge, and the ones you don't, for all your failures, beloved, I am well pleased with you. I do not expect from you that which you haven't the strength to attain. I am not giving you license, my precious one. I am merely telling you that you expect too much from yourself. You are not who you would like to be, but you are who I would like you to be. I want you to see that and find joy and peace in knowing that you are who you are called to be. I did not expect from you the same things Francis gave me. Rather, I received from you what you have given out of the sincere love of your heart for me, and I recognize that as the supreme gift. I want you to understand that when you focus so very much on what you are not, but want to be, when you do that, it defeats you and weakens you so that you cannot minister from the place of peace from within yourself. You are divided. One part is railing against you for your perceived failures. The other part is taken up with heartfelt compassion for the soul you are with. This move was a tremendous undertaking that has drained you to your limit, and I want you to be at peace now and move forward. Do not look back on the past and compare. This is a serious waste of time and incentive. Rather, focus on those souls who need you and pour out your motherly love on them. They need to get on their feet, and once they are there, you can enjoy watching them soar upwards into their destinies. But if you continue to look back on your life with all these failures and expectations that weigh you down, you will not be able to give them what they need. You will transfer your sense of dissatisfaction onto them. It is pure pride to wish to be something you were not created to be. Yes, you could always improve a little here and a little there, but keep in mind and be willing to be who I meant you to be, not some clone of a great soul that you admire. If only you could see, if only you could understand. You've given your widow's mite, and I have multiplied it 1,000-fold. So don't be concerned about your perceived weaknesses. Be concerned only for the soul I set before you. Lift them up to me, coach them, love on them, give to them your all without the stain of remorse for past sins and lost time, which I have forgiven and buried, never to be dug up again. It is Satan's servants that dig these things up and parade them before you. He's trying to take your attention off the needs of that soul that I set before you. If you have confessed it, renounced it, and turned away from it, I see your sins no more. Be confident of this, because the enemy will time and again try to entice and drag you into a pit with it. His goal is to decommission you so that you can no longer take care of others because you are so distraught by your past. This is a rule you may live by. You see your shortcoming or sin. You are sorry. You are resolved not to repeat it, and you confess it to me. I forgive it, and then you must trust in my mercy and go on. If you fall because of weakness, accept yourself as you are. Brush yourself off and get back up. To stay in that place of putting yourself down shows a lack of trust in me. It is a very real failure in faith, and it hurts me. And it is true, and I did repeat it for your hearing ears, to be discontent with yourself, wishing to be other than who you really are, is the sin of pride. Do you understand me, my beloved? Wishing to be someone other than who I made you to be is both idolatry and pride. These things are set in motion around you by the enemy to draw you away from your unique mission. He preys on those who compare themselves to others to cause jealousy, division, dissatisfaction, and ultimately failure of the soul to fulfill their own very special destiny. This is the fatal mistake so many aspiring Christians make. They want to be just like so-and-so, because so-and-so seems to have a beautiful life and is pleasing to man, and they presume pleasing to me as well. No, I do not want cookie-cutter Christians. I want fulfilled Christians and people who live their whole lives making themselves fit into the fads of their generation are ultimately a failure. They go to their graves with so much dissatisfaction in their lives because they lived a lie to please others and never lived out the destinies I had in store for them. Part of your job is to help them find their destinies by breaking these stereotype molds and encouraging them to become who I made them to be, not what their peers have told them they should be. They cannot do that unless they're communicating with me and have sufficient faith and courage to blossom from the heart where I sow the seeds of destiny in their lives. When they recognize the authentic God-given desires of their heart, which I have planted in them, they can begin to walk towards that goal, knowing that it is my will for them. And in that knowledge, stand up to any tactic or obstacle of the enemy that he may use to thwart them. I bless you all now in your hearing ears. to have the grace to follow your destiny, to be courageous, and to cling to me with all your hearts.